Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hope that you have managed well the first part of the work week. Whew, Tuesday night, our first one without football in nearly a week. So have a chance to catch our breath collectively and get back on track and see what else is happening in the sports world. No, I'm joking, but I did actually forget that the Australian Open was going on down under because of all the football with this expanded college playoff. And maybe at some point I will tell you my feelings on that, but it feels like they've gone forever between games, and I'm not sure that's a great situation for college football, especially when you look at some of the TV viewership numbers compared to the NFL. But maybe that's a topic for another segment. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're getting back to some of the business. Also, while we're talking college, Texas is losing what feels like half its roster to the NFL or even the transfer portal. So a bunch of business in between games, but a lot of attention still on what's happening in LA with the danger of wildfires spreading. Winds that can carry embers up to 3 miles is what I heard on the forecast. And the fact that danger and that stress, that scary situation persists now into week number two is a lot. And we've talked about some of the sports getting back to business as best they can, trying to represent their community. Anthony Davis, part of the Lakers effort as they return to the court on Monday in LA. And he was talking about the situation and navigating it.
It's, you know, the tragedy, you know, seeing it from the news and social media, being somewhat a part of it, with, you know, me having to evacuate and looking out my window, seeing the fires right there, and obviously being close to it, you know, JJ and, you know, Rohan and, you know, other, you know, people in the organization. Obviously a tough time, you know, for our city. And, you know, one thing we found out, you know, through the course of, you know, COVID, that sports kind of brings joy, you know, back to, you know, people, even if it's temporary. And, you know, we're eager to, you know, play basketball again in front of our fans. You know, we appreciate all of, you know, everyone's, you know, support from around the world, around the, you know, the country, and other leagues and other teams, and you know, first responders, you know, risking their lives to make sure that, you know, everyone try to be safe as possible. So tough times, but you know, we're going to get through it together.
Anthony Davis with that somber tone, and you hear that same sentiment from a lot of these athletes. We want to play for LA. We want to be able to bring some type of an escape, some type of a reason for joy. JJ said it. We heard it from the Rams as well, like Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford, and even Jared Verse, as he was excited about his big moment, his first touchdown as a rookie linebacker. And the first thing he says is, I got to talk about the people in LA. And I was watching some of the game between, the Lakers played, so it was Monday night now, my night's all blending together, but watching some of that game, and a couple of things stand out to me. Number one, the fans seemed really excited about having basketball. It's about supporting their team. There were lots of cheers. It seemed like lots of joy as they were losing to the San Antonio Spurs. Now, I know Wemby can be a big draw. Chris Paul there as well. So there's some star power. And obviously not all areas, not all parts, not all people in LA are affected. So I suppose you could take the callous approach that, hey, it doesn't matter to all of them. So some of them are fine going to basketball games. And that's probably true. I'm sure there are residents of LA that don't particularly care what's happening to those people who are losing their homes. Not everybody has sympathy or empathy. But the spirit inside the arena was notable. And the fact that the Spurs were taking time to greet J.J. Redick and to, in the case of Wemby and Chris Paul, to give his sons signed jerseys so that they could have a little bit of joy. So that was one thing. And then when they showed the end result, the score, and a couple of highlights of the Rams win. So remember, the Rams were in Arizona. They showed that Rams final score on the video board. The place went kind of crazy. And so that's neat. I do think there is a place for sports. We talk about it a lot. Somehow, sports bring us together across cultural and political and language and socioeconomic and all kinds of other barriers that you can come up with. And in these times where there has been a natural disaster or a man-made tragedy of some sort, somehow sports seem to be the first step toward healing. And I think it is because of that. They create the type of community that nothing else can do. They bring so many different people together simply because of their fandom, right? And the fact that they maybe grew up as a fan of a particular team, or it's ingrained with them, it dies hard. And that's how people can relate to the guy in the seat next to them or the gal on the other side. It doesn't take anything else. When we bond together over joy for our sports teams or hatred of our rivals, somehow that connects us. And I think it is because those rooting interests and that passion for a lot of people, it goes way back. And it sports just bring that emotion out of us like very few other things do. So to hear Anthony Davis, and we were listening to Tristan Boyer last hour, the 23-year-old tennis player from Altadena, who's down under at the Australian Open. We heard it from the Rams too. This is how we want to assist, boost, rep our community. This is how we want to bring awareness. This is how we feel like we can help the people of LA, letting them know that we're with them, mentioning them all the time, making sure they know that we play for them. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're going to connect with Arash Markazi of the Sporting Tribune, who's been covering these California events, the sports returning and where the sports and these natural disasters are juxtaposed and intertwining. He's right there. And I always have appreciated his sensitivity too. He's more than just a sports reporter. We've known each other a long time. So we're looking forward to talking to him at A-Law Radio. And then on our Facebook page, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. In addition, you have the option of voting for our TD of the week. And yeah, it was fun to hear from Jack in Cleveland. We generally make this an NFL poll. We don't even have enough spots on our poll for a winner or a touchdown from each one of the winners over the weekend. But if you didn't see the end, because it was Friday night, if you didn't see the end of the Longhorns Buckeyes national semifinal game, so it's the expanded playoff. They were on the heels of Penn State Notre Dame Thursday. It was Texas Ohio State on Friday, and I know that it was tied at halftime, and it was still a tight game going into the late stages of the fourth quarter. But man, it turned so quickly.
Eisner in the backfield with him. Ewers set to toss. Ewers being chased. Hit by Jack Sawyer. Knocked the ball out. Sawyer's picked it up and he's running down the right side. Jack Sawyer hits the 50-yard line to the Texas 40. Sawyer to the 30, to the 20 of Texas. Jack Sawyer is going to take it into the end zone. And Jack Sawyer races it into the end zone to give Ohio State a 27-14 lead over Texas.
What a moment for the Ohio State Buckeyes and Ryan Day, who was sprinting down the sidelines as this is playing out. And it was that drastic. Now, the Longhorns had struggled against Ohio State. And in the wake of this loss in the national semifinals, what we've seen are a bunch of the NFL declarations being made. So the Texas Longhorns, a lot of them are bolting for, I don't want to say greener pastures, because a lot of them are probably making money as it is, but a lot of them are moving on and hoping to try their hand at the pro game. And between now and the combine, there are, well, how would you describe it? There are multiple ways that they can prepare. So a lot of them have agents already, of course, the ones that are getting paid. Whether or not these agents are certified to also rep them in the NFL is something completely different. But you've got these agents now that will try to connect them with the right people to help them work out, to help them go through interviews, to prepare them for what will happen at the combine, which at times can be a really stressful situation. And so they've got to get ready. And I know you'd ask the questions about the rest of their education and their semesters and blah, blah, blah. That obviously becomes backseat as players are getting ready to declare for the draft and getting ready to try their hand at the next level. So that's happening with Texas now. That's been really the big story. But for the other two in the Buckeyes and Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, it's going to be really cool to see them. I just don't love the fact that it's so many days in between games. I understand the safety component of it, needing to make sure that these guys have time to recover from their last game, so Thursday, Friday. But let's be fair, they could play on Friday, right? But that's not the day that the college commissioners, the conference commissioners, want to host their game. They don't want it to be on a Friday night. They did it last week because they kind of had to, with Wild Card Weekend coming in like a big bad bully and taking over Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. College was left to pick Thursday, Friday. The national championship has been hosted on Mondays now for quite a while, even before they expanded. And so that's maybe something that they feel like is a pattern for football fans. Plus, Monday's a football night anyway, right? During the course of the last 6 months, we've had pro football, Monday night football. And so now that the NFL has vacated that, it's open for college. But I feel like it's a tough sell to go a week and a half in between these games. And that was the way that it was from the quarterfinals to the semifinals as well, because the quarterfinals took place on one on New Year's Eve, and then the ones that were supposed to take, all three of them were supposed to take place on New Year's Day. What happened in New Orleans then postponed the Sugar Bowl to January 2nd. But then you had to wait another week and a half to get to the national semifinals, and college football is trying to find the best spots so that they can earn the largest audience on TV. But you know what happens in between conference finals and NBA finals in basketball, where you go a week plus and it's almost out of sight, out of mind. I feel like that's happening a little bit with college football. Now, you can tell me I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not reading the room correctly, but it feels like the buzz around college football died down so quickly. And the fact that it was late on a Friday night, that's also tough, because it's not a typical high viewership night, regardless of what genre. Fridays is a night where people a lot of times go out, or they go to the movies. They're not necessarily sitting home and watching football. So Ohio State beats Clemson. Great for Ryan Day. Awesome, considering where they were at the end of the regular season and losing to Michigan again. And a lot of calls for his job. And they weren't in the conference championship in the Big Ten, yada, yada, yada. But as they end up doubling up Texas, so the final score was 28-14. And that late touchdown that was scored, that was one of those moments that kind of leaves you with your mouth dropped open, just over 2 minutes to go in the game. It was this big exclamation point for the Buckeyes. So now they move on in Notre Dame, and they've got that Monday night. But it does feel like the buzz has died down to barely a whimper. I don't know. I'm not sure how else to do it. I like this one suggestion that I saw online from a college football insider. And he was talking about bumping it back a week. So if you have to start the season maybe a week earlier, or maybe you push back the start of the playoff itself, right? So forget the other bowls that are taking place. Incorporate those bowls if you have to, but don't wait so long to start the college football playoff. Instead, maybe start it a week earlier. Don't give the guys the week off or the teams the week off. That way you go from conference championships, then right into the start of, so a week later, of course, right into the start of the playoff games. Those teams that have a bye, they're waiting a couple of weeks, but you have those first round games, then you go into the quarterfinals, and that way you're maybe on schedule to play the national championship a week early so that you're not intersecting with what is divisional weekend, and you're also not waiting a week and a half in between rounds of games. Now, this is the situation that they set up for themselves because you're asking these winners, the teams that get to the national championship game, to play an extra maybe four games, but definitely three, even if they had a bye. So it's a hard situation. It's, of course, what all these teams want. They make lots of money. The kids get on national TV. There's the glory. There's the excitement. There's the great crowds. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you are asking college students, in some cases teenagers, to add an extra three games to their schedule, which can be tough both mentally and physically. So I know there are challenges there, but this is the playoff system they designed to have 12 teams and to have this bracket. But I do feel like the buzz has died down a ton from last weekend and even before that from New Year's Day, where we typically are clued in to college football and where we're typically setting aside time to watch the bowl games. I say start it earlier. I like that idea so that maybe you're not going so deep into January and having to take as much time off so that you can avoid the NFL. Trust me, the numbers, they're stark when you compare college football to the NFL playoff game. So, and actually, we can do that coming up. At A-Law Radio, also at Amy After Hours, you can vote for TD of the Week for a few more minutes. You can also send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. So look for the bright orange box. I'll retweet it once we get into this break. 855-212-4227. So glad to have you with us on the Hump Show, middle show of the work week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Shotgun on 3rd and 13. Takes the snap. Drifts to the right. Sets his feet. Fires to the end zone. Touchdown! Rashad Bateman! As he caps a 95-yard scoring drive and the Ravens strike first on Wild Card Weekend.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Jerry Sandusky on Ravens Radio. The combo of MVP candidates, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, proving way too much of a load for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now the challenge of the Buffalo Bills. And this will be the final game of divisional weekend. Absolutely cannot wait. Going to be tremendous. So a couple of different ways we can go with this. Von Miller, he was weighing in from the Bills defense about how you try to contain one Lamar Jackson, and he was doing it, actually, this is kind of fun, with Max Crosby on Let's Go, which is Sirius XM NFL Radio. Remember how it was just Tom Brady and Jim Gray? And then Larry Fitzgerald would jump on with Jim Gray. Now it's a party, a cast and crew of thousands, where it was Bill Belichick. They bring in other guys too. I think Rich Gannon, he was on it recently. So it's Max Crosby as another player, but they bring in different guests all the time. Peter King is part of it. Once you lose Tom Brady, you have to replace him with like seven different people. So Von Miller, he was giving his opinion, without giving away too much, of course, but his perspective on what you do to defend Lamar.
Going against Lamar Jackson, you don't want to rush too conservative, but you don't want to be too reckless at the same time. It's you just got to play your game. And at this point in the season, you know, our coaching staff has to trust us and we have to trust those guys. He's going to make plays, but we got to be able to be in situations to make plays as well. And cage rushing those guys each and every play is it's not effective. It's Lamar Jackson. He's going to make plays. So you just gotta rush, man. And you got to be conscious of where you're rushing and how you're rushing. Of course, you have to know where he is. You have to know where the chipper is. But at the end of the day, you just got to go out there and play your game.
So it's interesting because I was thinking about this in basketball terms where you're trying to defend, say, a Steph Curry. Now, that's drastic, of course, or a Caitlin Clark, or a really good point guard off the dribble, any type of a guard who has handle and who can beat you off the dribble. You've got to give that guard space, right? Similar to Lamar Jackson. You've got to give him space because of the way that he can pivot on a dime and explode in a different direction. You can't get up too close to him because he'll use that. He'll get one shoulder past you and he's gone and there's nothing you can do about it. When it comes to the space though, and that's what Von Miller's talking about, you can't rush too conservatively because you can't just allow him to stand back there and figure out which way he wants to go. Then you're a sitting duck. But you also can't go haywire and be super aggressive because again, he'll use that against you, and as you start to rush him, he'll go the other direction. So it's about containing. It's about keeping him in front of you, so to speak. It's about, a lot of times, you hear Tony Romo talk about this when it comes to Josh Allen. It's about setting the edge. It's about containing him in the backfield. Let him go a few feet to his left or right. Sure, he can step up in the pocket if he wants to, but you essentially have to put up a perimeter so that he cannot break containment and get around the edge. Because once he gets around the edge and gets a shoulder in front of that defender, it's really difficult, if not impossible, to bring him down. So that's Von Miller, and Max Crosby was part of the conversation as well on how to defend Lamar. It's easier said than done, and it wasn't even really easy for him to say it on SiriusXM. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I just turned on ESPN2. Coco Gauff is playing live down under in the Australian Open. So it's good to see the American out there. You can't miss her. She is in bright yellow and so far has got a good lead. Earlier, it was Naomi Osaka who managed to win. And this is a return for her of sorts. But of course, she's very familiar with the Australian Open, having won it twice. But she's in the third round of a major for the first time since 2022. So not only did she have injuries, but also became a mama. And so she's had other things on her plate and physically had to get her body back in shape. So she, in a three-set match, was able to move on to the third round of the Australian Open. Last year when she was trying her comeback, she lost in the first round, but now she's got some major traction and has moved in to the deeper stages of the Aussie Open. So we'll keep our eyes on Coco Gauff too as we head through these next few hours. Are you ready to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything? If you've got a creative question, you can do it at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page and our phone number, 855-212-4227. Now, the Ravens also ended the Steelers season, though, gosh, I think in some cases the Ravens just put the Steelers out of their misery. The season itself, this one, ended with 5 losses in a row. It's now 6 straight in the postseason for Mike Tomlin's Steelers. And there are questions, evaluations. What do you do about the quarterback position? Blah, 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 on down the line. There's a lot more that they have to evaluate. But I thought it was interesting to hear what Mike Tomlin had to say about the franchise being stuck. So he was asked whether or not he feels like they're stuck in a rut. And again, that would go back to 6 consecutive playoff losses. It would go back to finishing the season with 5 losses in a row and how frustrating that was after their offense had found that spark and they were in a good groove. And then, boom, running into some better defensive teams and being unable to turn that ship around. And then they end up facing the Ravens again in the playoffs. So here's his answer to whether or not he feels like the Steelers are stuck.
You know, I don't know that I've looked at it from that perspective. I'm certainly disappointed that I'm not working to prepare to play this week. And I've certainly felt that in recent years. But stuck is kind of a helpless feeling, and I don't know that I feel helpless.
How about that? Stuck is kind of a helpless feeling, and I don't know that I feel helpless. I'd never thought about it that way, but it's true, right? When you feel like you're stuck in a rut, there's a bit of this emotion of, I don't know what to do. I'm stuck. Either your tires are stuck deep in mud, or I don't know, you've wrecked into the ditch and you're kind of stuck in that ditch. He doesn't feel that way. He doesn't feel helpless. And so I like that answer. But what is the plan? How do they fix it? Well, quarterback is one major question. All three of the QBs they had on the roster this season, Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, who started after week six, and then Kyle Allen, they're all free agents.
We don't have a quarterback under contract, and so we got some major discussions there. It was a really good experience with the three quarterbacks that were on our roster this year, individually and collectively. We certainly are open to considering those guys, but there's a lot of work ahead of us. And the major work, obviously, starts first and foremost with just understanding what our options are, what the field looks like in terms of free agency, what the draft pool looks like, and then beginning the process in terms of decision-making based on, you know, known variables. And so, you know, Omar and I have got a half a day carved out here this week just to begin that component of the discussion.
I can imagine it's going to take a lot more than that, but at least you can start the discussions during that time. The issue is not so much whether or not you pay the guys you have, whether or not you bring back the guys you have, but it's also about where you find the next guy. But here's something that struck me. This would be, let's just say for the sake of argument, Producer Pete, that neither Justin Fields nor Russell Wilson return, and that Kyle Allen doesn't either. And he's kind of a journeyman quarterback. He would be a guy that would be signed after the starting spots are filled. I wouldn't expect him to compete for a starting spot anywhere, but you do have to have not just practice squad QBs, but guys who run the scout team. And you want veterans who can help your starters prepare, who can be ready just in case. But let's just say all three of those guys are gone. It would be the second offseason in a row in which they have completely overhauled their QB room. Because last year, it was Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, and Mason Rudolph. And Mitch is in Buffalo. Kenny is in Philadelphia. And Mason's was in Tennessee, right? So could you imagine if for a third season in a row, they have a completely new quarterback room? That is not a recipe for success at all. And this is going back to now a few years since the end of Ben Roethlisberger's tenure, where he wasn't the same quarterback. So it's been an issue now for about 5 years. But to completely overhaul your room, that's something the Giants would do. Oh, wait, I take that back. That's something the Jets would do. That's something the Browns would do. It's something they did, except for Deshaun Watson. That is not how you find sustainable success. It's so unlike the Steelers.
Well, I will add to that, too. It's not how you find sustainable playoff success. Mm. Because you can make that, they've proven that they are able to make the dance. But to go far in the dance, that's been the problem. And now they have to really seriously sit and look at the offense. It's not just changing an offensive coordinator. It's getting the plan in place. This is going to be the offense. They have not figured that out post-Ben. So it's time to figure that out on what they need to do offensively if you want to keep Mike Tomlin here too. If you want to keep the system in place, keep what's been happening. And to me, as an outsider looking in terms of the fandom, Mike Tomlin has had success that other organizations would love to have. Is it a better fit somewhere else? I think so. But for them, what's the deal? What, are they going to start moving toward an offensive game plan? They need to.
Arthur Smith is a running. I mean, he's a run first OC, right. And that's one of the reasons why they like him. And they did finish right outside the top 10 when it comes to rushing yards per game. Najee Harris was fairly consistent. The issue was they didn't have a complimentary pass game.
Right.
So Najee went over 1,000 yards. Great season for him. And like I said, they started out running the ball really well. And remember, last year was a big transition for their offensive line, so that's still kind of a work in progress. But their top receiver, I guess theoretically is George Pickens. Deontay Johnson, did he start the year with the Steelers? No, where was he? He was part of that too, but was it last year that he was with them? They've had a bunch of turnover on their wide receiver crew, but George Pickens, because it didn't ever really work out with either Justin or Russ, he didn't even have 1,000 yards, and he's a mess right now. I don't know what happens with him. He's still in his rookie deal, so they don't have to do anything with him right now unless he's a major distraction, but he didn't even get over 1,000 yards. So their passing game was in the bottom five in the NFL. The games that they finished with at the end, Eagles, Ravens, Chiefs, Bengals. Now, Bengals were playing extremely well, though the Bengals only beat them by a couple of points. But the Eagles, the Ravens, the Chiefs, all playoff teams, all still alive. We're talking, right, Final Four in each of their conferences. So you can see where the Steelers slate in. They're good. They're better than average. They're, as you point out, a playoff team, but they're not good enough to beat the elite in the league.
Right. What puts them over the top on offense? Obviously, a stable quarterback situation, but what other element, aside from the running game, can put them over the top? That's a big question. They have to figure that out.
Well, they need receivers. Right. They don't have a lot of quality receivers.
I don't know what their cap situation is, but maybe it's going into free agency. Maybe it is going to get a big time wide receiver, whether it be
in
trade,
the draft,
draft or whatnot. But the focus needs to be the offense. If Mike Tomlin is staying here, it needs to be more so than what it has been the last few years.
Isn't TJ Watt in line for a contract too?
I'm sure.
I think that is something else they have to deal with this offseason. But yeah, their receivers, George Pickens was their number one receiver, I guess, theoretically. He had 900 yards. Van Jefferson, Calvin Austin. I can think of a couple of good catches for each of those guys. Pat Freiermuth, a terrific tight end, but he's not going to stretch the field, right? That's not how you have a vertical passing game. So they really, especially if George Pickens doesn't remain there, they need to address the wide receiver roster. So yeah, 10 wins is good. And there are a lot of franchises out there, as Pete points out, that would kill for 10 wins a year, that would kill to make the playoffs every season. Ask the Jets, ask the Giants, ask the Colts, ask the
Browns,
right? Ask the Raiders, ask even the Broncos, who went 9 years without being in the playoffs. Ask the Panthers, ask the Jaguars about that kind of consistency. But that's not the Steelers' standard, is just to get there. And now these losses start to pile up, where it's 6 consecutive postseason L's, postseason defeats, and it feels like they've become mired in mediocrity, even if it is a level of mediocrity that other teams might aspire to. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. I'll retweet that here momentarily. What about Mike Tomlin and these trade, I'm using my air quotations, trade rumors that he might be a better fit elsewhere? He does have a no trade clause, if you will, in his contract, but he was asked about coaching somewhere else in 2025. So you'll hear that. Also, the fans questioning whether or not he should still be the head coach in Pittsburgh. 855-212-4227. We'll get to some calls as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Pete McCarthy.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
Well, Amy, despite not winning a playoff game since the 2016 season, Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin said the franchise does not feel stuck. But Tomlin does understand the pressure.
I enjoy the urgency that comes with what I do and what we do. I don't make excuses for failure. I own it. But I also feel like I'm capable.
To any team that might try to trade for Tomlin, Tomlin says, save your time. A former Steeler, receiver Deontay Johnson, was waived by the Texans days after their playoff win over the Chargers. Johnson sulked in an otherwise celebratory postgame locker room. The Texans move on without him at Kansas City on Saturday. The Lions hope to have running back David Montgomery back. Montgomery missed their last 3 games with a right MCL injury, but he was a full participant in a walkthrough practice on Tuesday. NBA, just as the Mavericks get Kyrie Irving back after a 5-game absence, center Derek Lively sprains his right ankle less than 4 minutes into a game with the Nuggets. The Nuggets blow out the Mavs 118-99. Jamal Murray leading the way with 45 points. The Cavaliers improving to 34-5 with a 127-117 win over the Pacers. The Thunder right there with them at 33-6 after winning in Philadelphia by 16. Big night for the Hawks, Trae Young.
Trae, three-pointer. Bang! That is Trae Young, folks. He has a knack for that kind of thing. It's 117-109, the Hawks lead.
Hawks radio, Young scoring 43 points in Atlanta's win over Phoenix. Pelicans topped the Bulls by 6. The Bucks with a 15-point win over the Kings. Giannis registering a triple-double there. Multiple upsets of top five teams in men's hoops. Number 4, Alabama, lost at home to Ole Miss, 74-64. Number 5, Florida, falling at home as well to Missouri by 1 point. No such problems for top-ranked Auburn. Even without their star Johnny Broome, they handled number 15 Mississippi State, 88-66. I'm Pete McCarthy.
Yeah, that's the plan. I mean, obviously, I love it here and everything else, and I think we have a great football team. Obviously, it didn't go in the way we wanted it to, and I think there's a lot more to do. And I said to you guys before, I always just trust God in the process and all that.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Russell Wilson has made it known publicly in his exit interviews that he does want to be back with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but what do they want? Mike Tomlin, notably vague. In fact, just admits we haven't gotten there yet, but we do need to figure out what we want to do. And mentions Omar Kelly, the GM, and getting together with him coming up this week so they can begin the process of evaluation, because who is available? That's part of the question. And once again, because the Steelers make the playoffs and because they have double figure wins, they're not drafting high enough to get one of the top QBs. This is not a QB rich draft, at least not by most standards of evaluation. The guys who do this for a living, not me. And so it's a big question. If not Russ, if not Justin, then who? Where do you go? Because there are, I think, in this upcoming cycle, more teams that need QBs than there are viable, available quarterbacks. We know there are a bunch of rookies who started this year. There are a bunch of guys under their rookie contracts who are starting. There have been some QB heavy and QB rich drafts recently, but the Steelers aren't going to have access to one that is expected to hit the ground running, right? They tried that with Kenny Pickett, and they thought that he was going to be the answer, but it didn't even last two full seasons before he was replaced. So what now? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Inside of an hour until Ask Amy Anything, you can send your questions to our Facebook page or also to our show Twix at Amy After Hours. Now, Mike Tomlin, he's got a new contract with the Rooney family and the Pittsburgh Steelers, but there are some people who think he might be better off elsewhere. In fact, what about a coaching swap?
What's your message to any team that may reach out to the Steelers to gauge interest or availability in your services?
I have no message. Save your time.
In other words, shut it down very quickly. And he does have some control over it because he cannot get flipped to another team without his consent. A lot of fans say to me every year, Mike Tomlin needs to move on. He's not the right coach. It's mediocrity. All we do is win enough games just so that it extends his streak of winning seasons, but aren't ever going to do anything in the playoffs. So what about those fans, Coach?
I have no response to that. I understand the nature of what it is that we do, the attention and criticism that comes with it. As a matter of fact, I embrace it, to be quite honest with you. I enjoy the urgency that comes with what I do and what we do. I don't make excuses for failure. I own it. But I also feel like I'm capable. And so as long as I'm afforded an opportunity to do that, I will continue. But I certainly understand their frustrations. And probably more importantly than that, I share it because that's how I'm wired. And so I'm not a big-time comfort seeker. And particularly in circumstances such as this, I don't view myself as a comfort provider because there's, you know, words are hollow, to be quite honest with you. It's about what we do and less about what we say. And so I've learned to say very little when things are going good, and I've learned to say less when they aren't.
In other words, you're not going to get a lot of intel or information or even an emotional reaction from Mike Tomlin. Roy is listening in Pittsburgh. Roy, what do you think?
I think we're disorganized, and I think he looks disoriented, and it's time for us to disconnect.
Disoriented?
I think the look in his face is disoriented, especially when we're losing six playoff games in a row, five games at the end of the season. And in fact, if you noticed the other day, he actually was wearing a headset. I think he was trying to make it look like he knew what he was doing. Anyways, we were just fed up.
Are you speaking for all Pittsburgh Steelers fans?
Well, I live in Steeler Nation.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that's how the majority of Steeler Nation feels?
I certainly do. If you listen to Pittsburgh Sports Radio, we've been saying it for 8 years now, maybe nine.
Who's we? I'm sorry. Are you referring again to all of Steeler Nation? So you feel like this is the prevailing sentiment?
I can't say for every single person. The man's a great guy. Mm-hmm. Raised his kids here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, when you're the head coach of the team, we win. We're supposed to win.
Well, technically, he hasn't had a losing season, right?
But you don't get any trophies for that.
I didn't say anything about trophies. You said we need to win, and the Steelers
are winning.
Well, winning
means trophies.
All right, so you mean we need to win the Super Bowl every year?
Well, win the conference. Win the AFC, or, you know, win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
We're kind of used to it.
Well, it sounds like not lately.
I listened to the Immaculate Reception on the radio back when they didn't put it on TV.
Mm.
And this guy came from Minnesota. Their defense was horrible when he came.
Mm-hmm.
They changed the whole thing.
Well, I think it's interesting that the Rooney family, who obviously has made the Steelers one of the most iconic franchises in sports, don't share the sentiment of the entire Steeler Nation. I think that's kind of interesting.
Okay. But we certainly do. We talk about it every single day of the year, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand about the Rooneys. And how he ended up here. The man's excellent in all ways.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but so if not Tomlin, then who? What do you want? You've only got about 10 seconds, but what do you want if not Tomlin?
I don't know, but if he went somewhere else and didn't win a playoff game for 10 years, he wouldn't still be the coach there.
But you don't know what the... Forget Tomlin. What do the Steelers need if not him?
Somebody that wins.
Okay, Roy. Thank you for your phone call. See what I mean? It's kind of hard to have that conversation. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.